If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love, light, and sound of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, so, what is going to happen in the future? Manifestation, soul travel, and shifting our points of view. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward in a full integration of as much as your soulific energy that you could possibly embody at this time. Have an intention to bring forward the highest possible state of consciousness that you're able to access and participate with at this time in your life. We ask that only that which would be for your highest spiritual good come forward in the perfect rate and manner that each listener can best host and operate with. We ask that any karma, any negativity, any energy that you don't have to carry from this point onward, if it could be cleared at this time through grace. And let's chant Hue three times to spiritualize and clear our minds and to attune to that highest divine source. Take a deep breath. Hue. And that's the simplest possible way to attune to divine source and to spiritualize your mind, to shift it from the material, social, collective consciousness into attunement with that which is beyond time, beyond space, beyond karma, beyond all of the doings of the psychic and material realms. So just about everyone is curious about what will happen in the future. In fact, psychics and astrologers, fortune tellers, all of these people depend upon this curiosity in making their living. However, I'll tell you, there is a way more accurate than any crystal ball method that will reveal your future right now. And what is that? It is your present state of consciousness and what you totally believe and expect will happen. That is your personal world, the one you wake up with each morning and recreate by remembering yesterday's thoughts and yesterday's feelings, which, if not cleared or changed, will rematerialize your day and your tomorrow and the next day and the next in a similar experiential reality. Sai Baba has said, and I've shared this before, that we live in a world, in a cosmos, that exists nowhere outside of us at all, but is all within our mind consisting of our own thoughts and imagery. We but project our thought forms, beliefs, and expectations, which seem to make up our experiential reality. I say seem to, because there is also a divine reality beyond our thoughts and beyond our psychic and material creations. There is our personal universe, and then you can break through that through soul awareness and soul transcendence so that you can operate in the unconditioned purity of the positive divine God realms as a God conscious being. And that, of course, is our objective. So the unconditional divine, oh, let's call it the source field. I like that term that David Wilcox came up with. It's a very good one. The divine source field of pure energy takes form according to our focus and intention. We saw that really demonstrated in Dr. Emoto's frozen water images that were imprinted with various thought forms. We could see how the thought, focus, and intention precipitated a specific form on frozen water. So the universal formless divine source field rearranges itself to match our state of consciousness and our expectations. Okay, so here is a self-examination exercise. We can start by noticing what we expect will happen. For example, what do you expect will happen in your life? What do you expect will happen in your future? What do you expect will happen in your nation? What do you expect will happen in the world? And what do you expect will happen in the Earth's future? And I ask you, is that what you want to happen? Is that what you want to experience? Is that world a world that you want to live in? Is that future the future that you want for yourself and your loved ones? Is that what you want for Earth and humanity? Yeah, what you experience is determined by how you answer these questions. So if that's not a future that you want, then it's time to retrain your mind to focus upon and align with what you do want as your experiential reality. It is time to start living more intentionally, more in alignment with our highest possible good. And you might ask, will that make any difference with over 7 billion people on the planet? But you know what? No matter how many physical bodies there may be in incarnation, there is one divine life animating them all, one spirit. However, each individual must connect intentionally with that one divine spirit through free will and free choice. But that choice begins the conscious spiritual exodus from material captivity. That conscious choice has to be made by each person. And that decides whether or not you're going to move into another state, whether you're open to that or not. So our awareness is what opens the portal to a new reality. Each initiation, which would be each expansion into another level that you birth yourself into and that you establish with the assistance of the spiritual travelers. Each level opens us up to a new state of awareness and into a new reality, which begins a whole new level of experience, because each plane has its own laws and its own modus operandi. We have to learn like a baby taking first steps in a new body. We have to learn at each level how to operate in that level consciously. And because each individual is positioned within a state of consciousness that is unique to that person, each experiences a world mirroring that state of consciousness. And that's why everyone lives in a world of their own making, which is very different. And thus we each inhabit a world that matches our state of consciousness perfectly. That's how the different levels are also protected from those who don't have the rite of passage, so to speak. So most people on the planet are unaware of this. Most are unaware of their state of consciousness, or that it causes the world to appear in that particular manner to them. And I would say, without activating through your awareness that state of consciousness consciously, it remains dormant and lifeless. So you have to actually activate through participating in the new levels. You have to step into them, have to step into the next, into the unknown, into that which is beyond the familiar and the known and the tried and the tested. It's always a step into the unknown to activate higher awareness. You keep pushing, that's not quite the right term. It's a pulsing energy that is an internal state of intention. But you pulse yourself in a way that keeps probing deeper into your spiritual inner awareness. You keep probing. It's a very active process. It's not a passive meditation. You are moving the spiritual inner awareness to new states of awareness. So it's this lack of self-awareness that is often referred to as people being asleep or operating by autopilot. And life unfolds in that state according to momentum set into motion by past actions or karma. But to each individual, there comes a time to awaken, just as each flower has its time to blossom, and each fruit its time to ripen. It's a natural thing, this awakening. It's as easy as breathing in and breathing out if you stay current with your life, if you don't allow yourself to stagnate and get stuck in the past. Now, today, more people than ever are awakening or are already awakened. And these individuals are eager to learn the keys to conscious manifestation. Everybody's eager to know how this thing works. And this is what we like to focus upon in these seminars, is how to live with ever-expanding divine awareness, and to live in a manifested golden age, a Satya Yuga, an age of truth, now, which Sai Baba says is not chronological, but is determined by the state of consciousness in which you live. So we could be living in the golden age, in the Satya Yuga, right now. Depends on where we're placing our consciousness. So to live in that state, one must retrain the mind, the emotional body, and the personal self to focus upon what it wants to experience. We must train ourselves to host happiness, contentment, gratitude, joy, creative expression, newness, freshness, vitality, vivacity. It takes self-direction and choosing where we place our consciousness. Our state of consciousness is cultivated and nourished by what we feed it. Everything we intake through our five senses feeds our consciousness and affects our entire being, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Neuroplasticity that we're studying in science shows that the brain itself develops new neural pathways that connect us, that connect that dormant so-called 90% of the brain, which is designed for omnipresent, universal expanding awareness to occur and be registered. This takes place as we go into new levels. We develop new corridors, new associations, new realities, new dimensional portals, all within our own consciousness. You don't have to go anywhere except close your eyes and have an intention to connect with that which is beyond what you've experienced before. So, everything we intake through the five senses feeds our consciousness and infects our entire being, which means that everything we listen to, look at, read, watch on TV or in the movies or on the internet, everything we taste, touch, and smell leaves an impression, is part of going into our collective energy field, our universe, our reality, our creation, and contributes to creating our state of consciousness. And all of this determines our personal world, a world that is entirely of our own making. And only we can change and alter our state of consciousness. No one is allowed to violate our consciousness. Only we can alter it, and that is in cooperation and coordination with the Holy Spirit that dwells within us as the inner master. The Holy Spirit, the divine spirit of truth, dwells within your mind, your heart, your whole being as the spirit of truth, as the inner tutor. Now, A Course in Miracles states, I am affected only by my thoughts. My thoughts give all the meaning anything has for me. Take that on board, if you will. Have some tea with it. Contemplate it. I am affected only by my thoughts. My thoughts give all the meaning anything has for me. And that is the key right there. It is our thinking that needs to be changed. How we see things, how we interpret things, the stories that we make up about things, that narrative has to change if we want to see and experience a different world and a new reality. Now, anyone can do this that really wants to, but it requires paying attention to one's habitual patterns of thought and speech. Now, that paying attention to your inner self-talk and what you find yourself saying over and over in conversations, that is what has to be observed and redirected to align with what you want to manifest as your reality. So it's a matter of practicing ongoing awareness, for literally we become what we identify with. As it says in the Bible, as a man thinks in his heart, thus he is. So we can only experience what we are aware of, and awareness is unlimited in its ability to encompass and expand. And only our limited thinking confines us to a lesser state. So it's interesting, man's mind is either his jailer or his guide to truth. So the outer experiential world in which we live will adjust accordingly to our level of expanded awareness. It must shift. It must obey our mental directives. Why? Because we are incarnations of creative intelligence. We are the means through which the divine creator source expresses in time space. So the human being as soul has the greatest power in all of creation. For we alone can know, speak, and express as the creator, as God. And I'm reminded here of Sai Baba's statement. It's a very simple way to think of yourself. God plus ego is man. Man minus ego is God. So ego is but another definition for being asleep to our divine nature and potential. It's assuming we're a separate human being in a random universe without a creator, just left to muck around here as best we can. It's where we're identified with lack, with separation from the all that is. So anytime you're operating out of a sense of limitation and lack, basically, anytime you're negative and unhappy about yourself, you're an ego. You're operating out of that part of you that is sound asleep. So we can retrain our mind and our thinking to identify with our divine perfection instead. Why not? It will certainly feel a lot better to do that. For example, the depression, apathy, and hopelessness so many feel today is simply because they've never really identified with their divinity. Depression and hopelessness are really signs of spiritual starvation. You know, this kind of teaching is not being given where it should have been given, which is in the religions, and it should be taught in schools. It should be the first thing we're taught. In all of Sai Baba's schools, the very first thing you're taught is that you are divine. That's the first thing we need to understand about ourselves. Everything else is commentary. But without that foundation, you don't have anything to base your life on. You know, if you're taught you've evolved from the apes, and that life is a random crapshoot, you know, what are you going to do with that? So as light bearers and light workers, it's our duty to do all we possibly can to awaken ourselves and others, and to keep reminding one another of our divine nature, and keep reminding people there is a divine plan. And we've all come to establish this divine plan on Earth and throughout the cosmos and beyond. We are the means through which the God realms and the psychic and material realms are brought into divine harmonic resonance, and everything is lifted back into pure bliss and being. So man has for too long been conditioned to identify with materiality, to expect struggle and hardships as necessary to survive and make it in the world. And the thing is, every thought produces form at some level. So this thinking has produced our modern-day stress-ridden world. And you know what? Any assumption or belief, whether it's true or not, will densify into reality if held long enough by enough people. So we are deciding together what's going to happen in the future. It's all up to us. I would say not 100% up to us, because we have the divine avatar, we have the world teacher, we have the masters of wisdom that are in process of externalizing into the outer world. We have the brothers and sisters from more advanced civilizations and worlds, thousands of which live and work on our modern-day physical earth plane, and others who are in craft that are supervising the unfoldment of humanity. All of them work together as a great alliance to shift Earth into the family of united and peaceful star nations. All of the planets in our solar system consist as the body of manifestation for the solar logos. We are the manifestation, the physical manifestation of the solar logos. That's what our solar system is. And so Earth represents, you might say, the densest point, or his actual densest point of coalescence or manifestation. And it's being suffused now with this solar energy to bring it into a higher state of consciousness. It's a divinely wonderful thing that's happening right now. And it only required, according to the world teacher, it only required a minimum of a billion people to accomplish this for the whole collective. And some years back, the point of 1.8 billion of the people on this planet moved into that higher divine state and became what could be called the body of Christ, or that which would assure the transformation of the entire collective. That is already a slam dunk done deal. Out of time, it's already happened. In time, we have to work to manifest it in tangible form. It will manifest as a world of sharing, cooperation instead of competition, taking the need of our brother and sister as our measure of action, of bringing in programs that will offer the things that cause so much suffering in the world and result in terrorism and despair, which is the lack of the wherewithal for a decent life. The food, the shelter, the medical care, the education, the justice, the equal rights. These things have to be implemented by those of us who are the grunt team here on the planet. We have to devise the ways to begin to share the resources of this planet so that a small handful of people don't have most of the wealth while three-fourths of the planet barely survives. That is not the way. We also have to abolish creating more nuclear factories, more nuclear armaments. We have to absolutely cease every form of warmongering. We must. That is our dharma as human beings on planet Earth. And we need to turn our collective energy towards protecting our environment, taking care of the people on the planet, making sure everyone has food and shelter and a chance to have a decent life. That is the higher plan. That is the divine plan. And the world teacher has told us that our hearts are sound and that we have collectively made the right choice. And we are going to have a world that manifests justice and goodwill, heart to heart, nation to nation, people to people, where we talk to each other as people who care for one another And of course, eventually we will not have the burden of a financial situation. We won't be a monetarily based civilization because, according to the masters, it's the market forces that are the bastions of evil. So, as Sai Baba has often said, wherever money is an issue, there will be contention and discord, because that's the very energy of money itself. So we can spiritualize it by tithing and by using it to promote the things that advance the divine plan of cooperative endeavor and cooperative sharing of the world's resources. We can use it positively, but eventually we will give this up entirely, and we will have a system like we have, on, for example, on Venus. We don't use money. We don't have money. We don't need money. We create things to be shared. When we don't use them personally, we pass them on and they're used by others. We don't have any of this nonsense. Everybody creates out of their joy, out of their bliss, out of what they're interested in. Nobody goes to a 9-to-5 job. How awful. It's a form of slavedom, really. So one day we'll put our foot down, and it could be today if we wanted to, and say no more war. Our men and women will refuse, absolutely refuse to participate in that. Nation by nation, they'll just refuse. Now, it says in the Bible that we will take our plowshares and turn, we'll take our armaments, our swords, and turn them into plowshares, which means we'll go from a militarized mentality to a mentality that looks to find ways to grow more food on the planet. We need to produce food and make sure that the food gets to the places where the people have the need for that food. Right now there's plenty of food, but it doesn't get to the people because of red tape or you know, all sorts of selfish reasons. So we, as individualized rays of the divine Atmic Source, are expressions of creative intelligence. And we need to use our creative intelligence to find creative solutions to the things that we have created and set into motion and manifested through our sleeping and our lack of awareness. Now, as embodied jivas or souls, we have co-manifested all of the psychic and material realms of the universes. This will be very interesting if you follow me here. We've manifested the astral realm through our imagining. The astral plane consists of all of our flights of fancy. When I say ours, I mean all of humanity from the very dawn of the emanation of the individualized souls from the divine id of itself. We began this process of identifying ourselves in these specific ways, which then have gone into forming these great realms that we live and move in concomitantly, all at the same time. All of these realms are within us. So the astral plane consists of all of our flights of fancy, all of our imaginations, both good and evil, through our belief systems, through our religious indoctrinations. We've manifested all of the heavens, all of the hells, all of the purgatories. These are all manifested by belief systems. Each religion will have its own little heaven that it's manifested, its own little hells or bardos or purgatories, whatever the belief system has been espoused and people have expected to experience when they leave their bodies, they have manifested. These are all states of consciousness, all projections out of our corporate consciousness. So all of our paradises and our various after-physical life experiential scenarios have been created by us as a corporate entity or soul, you might say. The key to working through the astral plane is aspiration. Aspiration. Turn imagination into aspiration and aspire to go higher. Then the next realm is the causal realm. And this consists of all of our emotional expressions, our attachments to people, places, things, states of being. It contains the seeds of our karma, our past life scenarios and records, all that goes into a intense emotive experience. It's often experienced as you awaken with tears on your cheeks. Sometimes you have an intense experience and you wake up and you find out you've been weeping. That's when you've been in the causal realm. The key to moving through the causal realm and beyond it is devotion. This is where your prayers and your devotion to God and your all of the things that go into being devoted will be a doorway beyond that realm. And then we've manifested the mental plane with all of our mental ideas and theories and speculations, inquiries, questions, answers, studies, thinking, pondering, wondering, analyzing. All of that constitutes the mentation process, and thoughts is what we have manifested as the mental plane. And the key to getting through the mental plane is dedication, where you dedicate your mind, your thoughts, your attention, your focus to going beyond the mind. And then we've manifested the great unconscious realm, the etheric realm, where we've hidden things we didn't want to consciously deal with. It's our collective attic where we stored all of our old stuff and our boogeymen and our ghosts of the past. And the key to moving through the great unconscious realm of the etheric is consecration. When you consecrate your life, which is a life of active faith, proactive divine love, and everything is brought to revolve around that divine beloved, you fly very easily through that great void of darkness into the light. Because beyond that, protected by that dark realm, is the soul plane, and that is of divine creation. That is the first positive realm of spirit that we haven't messed with. And that is our true home. And we don't enter there until we've cleaned up our mess in these lower realms. But that is the realm of liberation. And when you break through into the soul realm, you are self-realized or in the state of liberation. Now, all of these planes are within you at the same time. They're all states of consciousness that exist all the time with everyone, and we shift from one level to the next. We shift our point of view. Sometimes that's called soul travel. It's more accurate to call it the movement of spiritual inner awareness, because you simply move that inner awareness to being aware of another state, or being aware of the state that you're operating in. So reality is within us and nowhere outside of us. That is until we have transcended the personal self and its manifestations into the omni-universal God realms, which are beyond the personal self per se. So all of these realms exist within us right now. We have bodies, subtle bodies, which operate on each plane of consciousness. We have a physical body, an astral body, a causal body, an etheric body, a soul body, a monadic body, which would be the I am self, and so on. Cosmic body. And we are within all of those realms which when you're operating in them are as real as our physical body and this physical world seem to be. For example, the physical plane has only three levels that are recognized by science. You have the physical, the liquid, and the gaseous. But beyond that are four levels, which also are called physical, but they're etheric, which means they're in a higher state of physicality that is beyond the usual sight, physical sight. Those are the bodies we operate in as extraterrestrials. So by definition, we are physical, and yet we are invisible to the optics of the people living on the physical planet, most of them. So there is life in the etheric physical levels of the planets, but not in the dense physical such as we would have it on the physical planet Earth. Now, science is close to discovering those four etheric planes, but they're not quite there yet. But once they are, it will answer a lot of questions for them, a lot of questions. And it will also open the door to a new type of science, which will be called the technology of light, which will open to us unlimited free energy and the ability to do things that would absolutely revolutionize and astound you if I were to describe them. But it will completely revolutionize how we live, how we fund energy, and the things that we will be doing in the future, which could be as soon as we stop our warmongering and are ready for the masters who are here on the physical planet and the leader, the world teacher, to step forward and begin to speak to us. And then you will have what you've all longed for, which is the landing of many of our brothers and sisters from the other planets, and the admitting of the many who live in the physical plane already that they actually come from other planets within our solar system. So we have people here from Venus, Mars, some of them from Jupiter, Mercury. It's not so odd. I mean, Shakespeare was from Jupiter, and Leonardo da Vinci was from Mercury. And Nikola Tesla was from Venus. Jesus the Christ was from Venus. So, it's not like this is an odd thing. Just saying. So, we live in all of these planes of consciousness at the same time. And you can train yourself to be aware when your consciousness shifts from one to the other. It's like you shift from one point of view, one attitude to another. That's how subtle it is. So if you watch yourself as you go through your day, you'll see yourself moving your spiritual inner awareness in all of these states of consciousness. I think everybody does this. They just aren't aware they're doing it. And that shift actually puts you into another plane or realm of consciousness. The trick is to be aware when you're doing that so that you become proactively intentional in where you place your consciousness, and that requires some training by the spiritual travelers. For example, when you're daydreaming or wool gathering or fantasizing, you are actually operating in the astral realm. You're also in the astral realm if you're angry, lusting, aspiring, dreaming, wishing, hoping. You're in the astral. So if you're driven by passion or ambition, you're also in the astral plane in your consciousness. And you can see most people live in that realm. That's where they hang out most often. You are operating in the causal plane if you are emoting. Your emotions place you in the causal realm, your devotional highs, your vision of wonderful things, and also your past life recall. Your dreams where you have extreme expressions of emotion. Maybe you're crying when you wake up, or you're experiencing a great romance, and You have this longing and these mystical visions and all of that. All of that is causal realm phenomena. And we created the causal realm by doing that. You know, that energy has to create a form that has to manifest somewhere. So our corporate manifestation of emotion has created what we call the causal plane and also our identification with our past lives and past personas has gone into creating what's called the records that are found on that realm. Of course, our daydreaming and fantasizing and all of that has created the astral realm. You see how that is? It's our use of energy that has manifested these realms. Now, we manifested the mental realm, and you're aware that you're in that mental realm when you're working at principles, mathematical equations, trying to figure out solutions to problems, working out scientific theories, researching, studying, planning, logistics. All of that has gone into creating the mental realm, which also has huge laboratories and educational academies. I mean, these realms are just as real as the physical realm is. The world that you're sitting in right now and the worlds of the astral, the causal, the mental are as tangible when you're in them and as real as this one. That's what's so amazing. They're all created out of thought, and they're all equally real and unreal at the same time. Because when you dismantle the mind that keeps projecting thought forms of separation, you also cause these realms to disappear. That's why when you go in and out of them in soul awareness, you begin the process of dissolving your former creations and attachments, and you begin to transmute all of those back into oneness with divine source. So we're all part of that redemptive process of reclaiming materiality to light, returning it to light, returning it to love. So to continue, you know when you're operating in the etheric realm, when you're acting out unconscious patterns. This is when you'll have impulses, compulses, sometimes addictive compulsion will come upon you as a pattern that you're not even aware of. It seems to do you. It's an energy that just overtakes you, and you find yourself caught up in doing it, and there's no conscious awareness of it. You're also in the etheric when you suddenly feel dizzy, like you're turning inside yourself. Or you may feel like you've fallen inside yourself. That's when you have that sudden sinking feeling. You feel like sometimes you have that experience when you're coming back in your body in the morning. When you come through the etheric realm, you'll feel like you're falling. That's when you're passing through that great void or that unconscious realm. It can also play forward as senses of phobia or foreboding or just fearful feelings that sometimes come on you and you can't account to why they're there. It's sometimes subconscious things that are hovering in the consciousness. Now, I said consecration was the key to get through that realm of the etheric, because when you consecrate your life completely to God, to the divine beloved, to the guru, to whatever that representation of Godhead is for you, and you begin to live by faith and trust in that, it's as if you have a winged heart. It's like your heart has wings. And with the love and faith and trust you have, you will just soar through that. You will soar through that dark abyss, and it will be very easy. And this realm, however, is unconscious. And that's why you have to move through it by faith and not by sight. Because it's a plane of no thing that you could consciously describe. Because if you could do that consciously, then you would have dissolved it. So that dark realm protects the soul realm, so that those that are unprepared And unready, they can't cross into that. That's why you need a spiritual traveler, or the Christ to take you to the soul realm. That's experienced as samadhi, the state of equal-mindedness, the state of liberation, freedom, bliss, a sense of radiant presence and quiet joy. It's the end of karma. The end of karma is the quiet mind that's filled only with the divine presence. It is the home we all long for. It is the home of the soul. And we are existing now in all of these levels at once. And through a soul awareness, and through training in soul travel or soul expansion, awareness expansion, we can move our inner awareness in and out of these realms at will with training. When we move into the soul body, not the astral body, but the soul body, we can move freely in and out of these realms and into the God realms beyond the soul realm. If you operate it out of the astral body or astral projection, you can only travel in the astral realm. So that's why it's important to be trained by a spiritual traveler in how to move yourself into soul identification, soul awareness, and then operate through the soul body, which is sometimes called soul travel. But since soul travel is a misnomer, since we don't travel, but what happens is that the atoms rearrange themselves to match our state of consciousness. So it gives an experience as if things are shifting and moving, which they are. They're rearranging themselves to accommodate your picture of reality, which in this case would be the soul. So it's the job assignment of the spiritual travelers to teach the keys to soul awareness and how to move that spiritual inner awareness so that you're conscious in and out of these spiritual levels. It's their dharma to open them to us through initiation into the divine light and sound currents, and to teach us how to ride these as homing devices back home into the heart of the all it is, which is within us, and then, of course, also without, because we live and move and have our being in God. So it's always greater than our greatest expansion of awareness, because there's always a plus factor to the divine. You never quite get to the divine. It's constantly expanding, because it is God, and we're extensions of that. So it's, again, the job of the spiritual travelers to assist us in becoming conscious and aware on each of these levels, so that we can indeed become co-creators and co-workers of Sugmad, the divine it of itself. We are to become conscious co-workers that have identified with our divine, with the divine spirit, so that we recognize that we are the hue. We are the divine, radiant name of the all that is. We are all the names, all the forms. It's a great mystery because it's one and the many at the same time. But you find those things out as you unfold spiritually, because you have to experience something before you understand it, before you can recognize it, what I'm talking about. You have to have had some experience or you can't quite relate. But I'm planting at least seeds so that those of you who are coming into this for the first time, perhaps, which you're really not, everybody's an old soul and ready to hear this or you wouldn't be listening, but just to let you know that it's quickening and activating that part that perhaps has been sleeping. Perhaps this is your wake-up call. So let me tell you a few quick ways to shift into another state of consciousness so that you have something you can work on. First of all, imagine how you would like it to be and feel as if that were so right now. Mock it up in your mind, see it exactly how you'd like it to be. Feel it, you know, get into it, get into the cool character, the whole scenario, run it out, step into it as if it were real now. And then, of course, hold yourself to that. If you want to manifest it, have to keep it up, keep it, you know, keep it vitalized. Second, get out of the box. Try new approaches. Try new spiritual exercises and techniques. Think new thoughts. Shift from the old habit patterns and keep refreshing yourself. Go beyond your comfort zones and stretch your mind. Stretch your imagination. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to keep your mind fed by the thoughts of enlightened masters, really, genuinely enlightened masters, like the avatar Satya Sai Baba, the avatar Yogananda, the avatar Ramana Maharshi, the avatar Ramakrishna Paramahansa, Maharishi. All of these great, great works are out there to be studied, and others that I haven't mentioned. Read books by John Roger and MSIA, soul awareness. Read the books of Paul Twitchell and Ekankar on soul travel. Omnic Onik has a fabulous new book on Venusian spirituality. You can get it on Amazon. Read the works of the Tibetan Lamas. They have wonderful techniques for working with the mind. The books of Alice Bailey, the Agni Yoga books of Helen O'Rourke, the wonderful theosophical literature, A Course in Miracles. Take seminars, go on retreats. Connect with a bona fide spiritual path and teacher and get involved. Get involved in your own spiritual emancipation and expansion. But keep researching, probing, going deeper and deeper. Exert some intensity in delving deeply into your vast, unlimited self. And you might try, for example, one spiritual exercise for a week, and then try another, and keep a journal, and record your dreams and out-of-body experiences. Begin to validate your experiences for yourself. And there's also a little book published by Ekankar called The Spiritual Exercises of Ek that give, I think, 101 different spiritual exercises, which you can try, but you're also encouraged to make up your own. A spiritual exercise is any technique that you would use to shift your point of view. To shift your point of view. So shifting your point of view is shifting into another state of consciousness. So think about that. If you're stuck, shift your point of view. Don't sit in a depressed state. Get up, move your body, get out of the house, go take a jog or take yourself to a movie, take yourself out to dinner, do something. But don't ever sit in a funk. Get up and move your energy. Exercise, you know, begin to take yourself in hand and direct yourself how you want to be, what you'd want to experience. You are the one that determines your reality. It's not going to come floating in on a spaceship and beam you up, transform you. No. It's generated from within your own being. Your own being. And you have plenty of help. You have all of the Ashtar Command, you have all of the Confederation of United and Peaceful Worlds, you have all these wonderful brothers and sisters of other planets, both here and above. You have the masters of the spiritual hierarchies. So there's plenty of support. And know that you're loved and guided every step of the way. You're never alone. So let's go out chanting one nice long Anai Hue. Deep breath. Anai Hue. God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Namaste.